I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hiya, everybody.
Ooh, hiya. That one's a cute one.
Hiya.
It's like hiya, but hiya. Hi, howdy.
Hi, howdy ho.
How do you feel about y'all?
I like y'all.
I like y'all, and I feel like it's quite inclusive, but sometimes when I say it, I think, do people think I'm from Texas?
Some people think folks is annoying.
Folks?
Yeah. I have friends that are like, I hate when you say folks.
I wonder why they hate when you say folks.
Oh, hate's a strong word, too. Like, it's not that bad. I guess it's just not their cup of tea.
Hmm. My housemate, who you know here, too, calls his parents his folks, but his dad's from Texas, so that's why his folks.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only person I know who says my folks, but he doesn't say it the way he's my folks.
So
from
maybe
Santa Cruz.
The whole time during the politically correct movement of speaking, the South had it right when they said y'all folks.
Thanks, Texas.
Yeah.
We love you, Texas.
Minus that Confederate flag.
Minus that Confederate flag. Oh, we just pissed some people off.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, damn it. All right. This podcast, everyone, repeat guest. We recorded it in Mexico. We were in Mexico last week.
Yeah, we were.
We're back.
We are back.
We miss it.
I have a weird, some kind of weird burn mark from something that happened there.
We went fishing.
We went fishing. It had to be a fishing accident. If you haven't checked out our Instagram, you can see Amy and I in action catching fish. People were offended by Dory, but we threw Dory back. They're like, oh, you caught Dory. I was like, well, you threw her back.
Dory's still alive. Dory's having a good time. We didn't go there for a fishing trip. We went there for a chip and dip getaway with our two little dogs. And it was lovely. We ended up going fishing while we were down there and recording the podcast with Nick. And he's hilarious. He was on a bonus episode. And on the bonus episode, he was asking questions about challenges in having orgasms from blowjobs, which he actually is now returning back on our show to say, even despite the advice we've given him, he still isn't having orgasms from blowjobs. He's also talking about how he's learning to love slow sex. And we would love for all of you penis-owning individuals who like to have sex with vulva-owning individuals to maybe listen, because you can learn a thing or two.
This is just a great episode because he is extremely vulnerable.
Yeah.
And also, he is just well-spoken, funny, and just a catch.
Yeah, he's a catch.
We're taking applications for...
If anyone wants to date him.
For his
you have to go
next
through us.
Girlfriend. He's over blondes, but loves blondes, but he's had bad luck with blondes.
And his father does not like blondes.
No. His father's like, stay away from the blondes.
And then we're both kind of semi-blondes.
Yeah, so. He's like, I'm sorry to tell you this, but...
My family wouldn't approve of you.
And he has a funny story about a haunted hayride that... That I can't wait for people to listen to.
And he also talks about fear being tied down, fear of commitment, and what that is all about. What I appreciate about this, normally we have guests that are educators that are talking about a specific topic and they're teaching you all about it. And then we do sex questions, but they're always anonymous. He's coming here. He's telling you, this is my name. This is where you can find me. And I'm going to be vulnerable and talk about my sex and relationship issues. And it's relatable and fun and entertaining. We hope you enjoy it. And because we certainly did in Mexico. We miss you. We'll be back.
We say we're going to have him on again, and we probably will.
Probably will. Good, because you know he's going to have more problems.
He got me on IMDb. I am famous now, Amy.
That's true.
As an actor.
You're a celebrity.
So if anybody's looking for any of my films.
Yeah, if she was on Mangina Dialogues.
Yes, that was it. he's not even a film. It's audio.
Yeah, it's audio. He's co-host of the Mangina Dialogues. Oh, that's great. I'm glad you're famous.
I
have a sex question for us, but before we do, we're going to share a little bit about something called OMG. Yes, OMG. You know we love it if you listen before. If you listen before and you haven't checked it out yet, at least go to their website to know what we're talking about. It's revolutionary. OMGS.com. It is an online platform where you can learn about vulva pleasure. Season 1 is all about external stimulation. Season 2 is all about internal stimulation. And it's research-based. They studied with over 1,000 vulva-owning individuals.
20,000.
20,000
now. Between the ages of 18 to 95.
Wow. to figure out what kind of techniques to do. How do you have your orgasms? How do you touch yourself? And then they did these very tasteful videos because that's how we learn.
And they're short videos, and you can not only learn about your own pleasure, but if you, as Amy likes to say, if you're a vulva admirer, you can still learn some things. If you're in a relationship, not in a relationship, if you're just a human that wants more in their toolbox, because who doesn't? We ebb and we flow. This is something you'll check out. It's how to build more pleasure, I think, is the way. The building blocks of pleasure. So omgs.com/shameless.
Shameless. And you get $5 off. Go check it out. You won't regret it. Okay, so sex question. My wife recently told me that she had a sex dream about me and her with another woman. And this is quite a nice surprise for me because I've also fantasized about having a three-way, but never had the courage to talk about it with her. Then a couple of weeks later, after she told me about it, in the heat of the moment, she said she wouldn't mind giving it a try with another woman, but it would be mostly them playing and me watching, and maybe I'd get a little involved. I'm wondering what the next step should be because I'm still a little nervous to bring it up to her and tell her I really want to try it. She's obviously interested, and so am I. What advice would you give to a married couple about trying this for the first time? Neither of us have ever had a threesome before. So, new threesome folks, brand spanking new to threesomes. We have a whole episode on threesomes with Read Me Halko.
I say get really drunk. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's great advice.
That's my advice. I'm just kidding. Not at all.
Don't do that.
Get wasted. Go to the bar with your mask on and don't care about anything. Just take someone home.
Just be like, hey, you want to come home with us? Hey, you want to be our third? Okay, so the threesome episode of Read Me Halko is episode number 105. We also have a threesome episode number 72, where April and I talk about some of our threesome experiences. But we will just share and elaborate here for these dear listeners. So your partner told you they really want to do this thing, or they have this fantasy, and now they're saying they actually want to try it, and this is the way that they want to try it. They want it to be mostly them experiencing with another woman, you mostly watching, and then maybe you get to play a little bit. So, and now you're a little afraid to say, hey, I really want to try this. But they kind of already told you that they're interested in trying it, so I say be brave and appreciate them for sharing. Be like, actually, that seems really hot to me. I've kind of fantasized about that too. And then you talk about the boundaries of what this looks like. She's already kind of laid this out. And so, one, are you down with that? Are you down to just watch her with another woman and then maybe get to join in a little bit? I would negotiate ahead of time what that joining in looks like. How do you know if it's okay for you to join in? And if you do, what do you get to do? Do you get to touch the other woman's nipples? You get to kiss her? You know, talk about, lay it all out before and don't just dive in and be like, okay, now I'm watching. Okay, now you get to dive in, but I don't know what the parameters are. I think the more that you talk about these things beforehand, the easier it will be. Or I guess it's still probably going to be complicated, honestly, but it could be really wonderful, and the less likely you'll have these messy, triggering experiences.
And perhaps, I think maybe it would be the conversation would be a bit less challenging if you talk about what's an absolute no, like absolutely no penetration.
Hard no.
Because sometimes it's hard to be like, what do you want to do? You're like, I don't know. But if you have any hard no's or hard boundaries, to lay those out before. So I'm not comfortable with X, Y, and Z. And from there we can explore, and maybe there's some kind of code word if something's going in a direction. And
tangerine.
Yeah. Banana hammock.
It means stick it in.
Yeah.
And I would also share with the person that you have the threesome with please share all these so they know what they're getting into. In fact, I think we've done episodes with the ones we've done with Kitty on non-traditional relationships. She talks about those kind of things. So you don't want to treat the third as they're just like your plaything, unless that's what they want to be. But you would let them know, hey, here's what our boundaries are. You'd let them know, and also discuss with your wife, are we going to do this again with this person? Is this a one-time only thing? Do we want it to be with someone who lives out of town so we don't have to see them, on the streets? And then let that person know, here's what we're available for. Here's what we're not available for. Are you interested? And then I like what Read Me Halko says is sending them a thank you letter later for like thank you for the good times, just so that they also feel really good about the experience. And aftercare and also processing at the end, you all three can, you know, sit down, like, how was that for you? And check in so everyone feels like they're included.
You can create a dating app profile on one of the platforms. There's so many out there now as well that you're looking for a third and you're partnered and you're looking for someone that is willing to participate in that. I have some friends that have their dating profile and pictures of them together and are pretty lucky and fortunate with what's come out of that. So,
well, there's a lot of people looking for these kinds of experiences.
No attachments. Yeah. It's just fun.
And be as clear even on those dating apps as possible. There's people on Tinder even doing that, or hashtag open.
That's where they were. They were on Tinder.
Yeah. And just be really clear. Here's where I'm at. Here's what we were looking for. If you're interested, let's start up some conversations. Show me your COVID status first. I don't know, because it's a weird time to be doing this, I imagine. And then I also talked about this too. One other thing, if you want some people might not consider this safe because they have opinions about sex workers. We personally love sex workers. You can hire a sex worker they're already there for the exact thing that you're paying them for. Here's the boundaries. And so they're not even really there considering like, well, here's what I need to, I mean, well, yes, they are for their own safety, of course, feeling respected, but you know, they're not looking necessarily like build a relationship with you. So that is another option. That would actually probably, in my opinion, be such a safe, and then they're also professional. So they would probably know how to go about it even better than someone who might be like a new unicorn, which is like the new third.
Yeah. So those are several options right there that we've provided to you. Start with listening to that podcast, and then from there, maybe set up the profile. And then from there, look up a sex worker.
Yeah. And I know if it's scary to tell your partner that you're excited about this too. But your partner expressed that they're excited. So I think it can be a fun thing, a fun conversation. Look at it as like, oh my God, this is scary conversations. Wow, we share this interest. Let's like start talking about it. And then even if you don't explore it, that can be just a juicy conversation. Like, ooh, this is a sexy thing that we're talking about. What will it look like? And then maybe that's all you need. Who knows?
Yeah. All right.
All right. Bio time.
All right. Let's do a bio.
Bio.
For our boy Nick.
Nick Scopoletti.
Oh, so Nick Scopoletti, a.k.a. Nick Scopes, is a stand-up comedian and co-host of the wildly popular comedy podcast, The Mangina Dialogues. Raised 25 miles outside of NYC and currently residing in Connecticut, Nick finds himself on stage in comedy clubs across CT and in NYC, bringing his high-energy, interactive comedy to audiences anxiously awaiting the mayhem. When not in the comedy clubs, you'll find Nick at his day job as a personal trainer at Equinox, barking orders at soccer moms, helping them achieve their personal fitness goals. You can find Nick on at Nick Scopes and his podcast at The Mangina Dialogues on Instagram. But first,
attention vulva owners who are looking for some of the best products for your bits. Let me tell you a little something about a sex toy that was actually molded after real female anatomy. The Jolette is a beautiful handmade dildo made of body-safe silicone and also comes with a vibrator that can be used both with or without the dildo. I recently tried the Jolette via Intamo Pleasurables, and I was blown away by how perfectly this toy hit all the right juicy places.
But wait, there's more. Not only can you get the Jolette from Intamo Pleasurables, but they also offer amazing plant-based water and oil-based lubes along with sexual self-care products. Head over to Intamo Pleasurables for a non-intimidating, sex-positive experience where they proudly create and sell ethically sourced products. And right now, our listeners get a free bottle of Intamo Lube when you spend $100 using code SHAMELESSFREE at IntamoPleasureBoutique.com. That's a bonus bottle of some of the best water or oil-based lube out there, a $30 value, totally free. Just go to IntamoPleasureBoutique.com and use code SHAMELESSFREE. And be sure to follow them on Instagram at IntamoPleasureBoutique. Go check it out.
All right, everyone, it is interview time, and we are here live. Well, I guess it isn't live when you listen, but April and I are in Mexico, in Baja.
Arriba, abajo, el centro, el dentro. That's terrible.
Nice dance moves. Her shoulders were shimmying as she was doing that. We're here with, on the crazy dog lady trip. We brought our cute little dogs. And so we're in a little Airbnb, and we're also on video with a repeat guest, Nick Scopoletti. Nick Scopes, comedian, co-host of the Mangina Dialogues.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The legend. The legend. Here to honestly and openly ask some sex questions. And so we love this. We love this last episode. It's fun. Obviously, it's fun because you're a comedian. He's a friend of ours. We love this man. We will be taking applications at the end of the show in case you want to date him because he's amazing. And... but you have to go through us first. And he's a catch. But he's going to ask some sex questions, which I love when people are, a lot of times we get anonymous sex questions here, but people don't want other folks to know their names. And Nick is just like, I have no shame. I want to go on Shameless Sex and ask what's up with the sex thing. Nick, welcome to our show. We love you. Welcome back.
What's up, guys? How are you guys feeling today?
Oh, a little hungover with tequila yesterday.
You get a sneak peek of it because you're actually seeing us. So, haggard in two words. Haggard.
You guys look fine. You're doing well.
Thanks, Nick.
We want to look fabulous. We don't want to look fine. We want to look fine.
Well, after drinking all that tequila, it's all you can hope for, right?
I know. Fine. Yeah, it was good though. We're gonna have some of that real soon.
Yeah, hair o dog.
Are you guys, like a blanco? Is that what you go towards mostly?
No,
reposado.
We did reposado and añejo. We had a tequila tasting before 10 yesterday.
We barely had coffee or water.
10 a.m.
Yeah,
because we didn't. The guy insisted, so we're like, okay. Sure.
Well, we went shopping and we needed tequila and he said, you try this. And so we did. And we're like, oh shit, we're already buzzed.
I know. I'm like, I haven't eaten any breakfast. Yeah. I don't even have water.
Oh shit. You didn't eat. And then you went right into that.
Yeah. It was only a little, but yeah, I know we had a day yesterday. We were in the sun. We were playing with animals. It was glorious. No, we didn't do any work yesterday. Today we'll do some work.
It was Sunday.
It was the Lord's Day.
It's Domingo.
Domingo. It was Domingo.
It was Domingo.
Yeah, so nice. Spanish there. I'm really proud of you.
Hey, Nick, we talked about this on a text message thread between you and Amy and I, but that now I'm on IMDb because of your podcast as an actress.
Who guested on, like, Mangina Dialogues.
Yeah, so
I didn't know Mangina Dialogues was...
You're welcome.
So April Lampert, actor, and then it said Mangina Dialogues. I was like, huh, I guess that was interesting.
Yeah.
You gotta talk to Greg. He probably had something to do with that. I have no idea.
It was cracking me up, but I was like, Nick, thanks. I'm on IMDb.
Oh my God.
You guys are famous now. You're welcome.
How come I didn't get one?
You're on there, but as a stunt double. There is an Amy Baldwin-like stunt double. Or
oh,
something.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
I looked you up.
I'm not that adventurous, though, but all right.
I guess I didn't know you're so agile.
No, no, you had a tequila tasting before 10 a.m. You're pretty adventurous.
That's true. I do some wild sex things. That's adventurous.
Ooh, no. This isn't about you, though, Amy.
Okay,
we're
here to talk about
Nick. But that's probably more interesting. Let's hear about that. What do you
doing? No, Nick, you're very interesting. Well, so the thing about you asking these questions is I think a lot of folks can identify with what you're asking. One is a repeat question from something that we already discussed on the last time you were here, but is still showing up for you. And then we have a couple new things. I'd like to start with one. Let's see. Let's start with how you're seeing value in slower sex. And I know a lot of the vulva owning humans listening are like, yes, finally men seeing the value in slower sex. And less jackrabbit.
That was my whole 20s right there. You just
it was jackrabbit.
Jackrabbit.
Oh my God.
Like porn. Harder, better, faster all the time.
Yeah. You just, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Guys are meatheads and you just think like, you know, if it goes hard and as fast as possible.
Does it feel better for a penis owner to do that? I mean, obviously everyone's different, but is that why the fast come? I've always wondered this. Did it help you with your orgasm?
Stimulation?
Not really, honestly. No. Like, if anything, it was just about I don't know. It was like an ego thing. Like, I'm going to control this. I'm going to dominate. Like, you just feel, I don't know. That's really what it was about. Cause honestly, it gets exhausting. So
it's a good workout.
Like, Jesus Christ. Like, you know, I want to enjoy it. Like, I'm dying here. But,
but did you always think the fast sex, like the women liked it better? Is that why in your 20s at least?
Probably. Yeah, that's probably why.
See, this is a misconception that we just need to get out there. So everyone listening, whether you're 18 or 85, slower sex.
85 and still banging real hard and fast.
Yeah, my hair. It's possible.
All right.
A lot of broken hips out there.
Yeah. Well, we're not saying that hard and fast doesn't serve a time and place, but it certainly is not within the first, for me at least, minute or two when someone's penetrating me. And I don't necessarily want it all the time. And some of my best orgasms and when I feel the most sensation is in the slowness, because when we're moving so fast, we're bypassing a lot of sensation. We're moving so fast that we can't feel all the little tingles and warmth and throbbing and skin on skin stuff. It's not that you can't, but I think you miss a lot of it.
Yeah.
So Nick, let me start. Where did you learn to have sex? You know, is it from watching porn? Was it just trial and error? Was it what your friends doing, you know, drawing stick figures?
I don't know. I guess it was just trial and error. Like, yeah, you watch porn as like, you know, when we were hit our teenage years, definitely started watching porn. And I started watching porn again since this pandemic started. I haven't watched it since I was probably honestly in college, so like 10 years ago. I never really watched porn after that.
And what's your site? Youporn.com? What do you like?
Go to Pornhub.
X-Hamster.
No. X-Hamster? No. I know what that shit is.
X-Hamster. No. It's a site.
A porn site?
Yeah. Why it's not. There's no hamsters that I've seen on it.
Why is it called X hamster?
I don't know.
It's not good. I've heard things. It's not
consensual, good. You guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably from porn and like just being a physical guy my whole life, like, you know, having sex in high school as a football player. I was at the time, to be open and honest, I was taking steroids, I was lifting weight. Like, I was just trying, like, and you thought like, that's what being a man is. Mm. Like, you have to be like this masculine, aggressive male, like that's what girls like. And like, there's, like you said, there's a time and a place. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely a time and a place for that stuff. But you know, as you get into relationships with girls or whatever, things progress. Like, I've even just really lately, it's probably this past year, just you find the value in like taking your time. Mm-hmm. And going slower, and then, you know, that happened, and then you guys sent me one of your stickers.
That says go slower than that.
Yeah, and
that's,
you know,
our number one selling t-shirt too, Nick.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. People like
that's what I mean. I got that, and I was like, this is a sign. And one of my friends, I've been friends with her for a very long time. I've known her since college. And she, since college, was like, yeah, I'm all about the slow. And we all used to like joke around and make fun of her. Like, really? That's what you like? Like the slow sex, blah, 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 blah. And then now I texted her recently and I was like, you were right. She's like, see, I told you. And I finally came around. But like, why is that? I mean, like you said, there's a time and place for everything. I guess for women, like, why is the slower, you know, why is that so much better for you guys? Like, give me the...
I agree with the time and a place for sure, because there is a time where I do enjoy the fast and the hard. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a sensation. It's the feeling of the connectivity with the person that you're in the experience with. And especially when it comes to stimulating externally, like the fast, not even with the penetration. That can be really intense, especially right away. But starting, I think it's the start slow, and then you can kind of go into a higher gear, and then if you need to go into the highest one. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's about like activating my nerves and my body, like getting it like ready for action.
Warming it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that the slow is so important. And as Amy mentioned, you can miss some things. Mm-hmm. You can miss some of the sensations that your body is experiencing. And this is also why I do enjoy taking away some of the senses sometimes, like closing my eyes if I don't have a blindfold, or plugging my nose. I'm just kidding. But like taking away some of the, like, a sensation. Yeah. And then you can actually get more heightened with the slowness.
Yeah. I agree with that. So I believe a vulva takes approximately 4 times as long to get blood flow and arousal going than a penis. And this is, vulva is all erectile tissue, those labia majora, et cetera. This is all stuff that gets blood in there when you're aroused. It gets engorged and puffy. And part of that is also, leading to more sensation, right? If I don't have that blood flow going on there, sensation doesn't feel as good, or I don't feel as much. In fact, I can feel really unprepared. It's like someone's poking at me because my body is not ready. So I think part of that slowness is to consider that you're warming the body up, and just because your cock is rock hard, and I'm speaking into heterosexual relationships right now, just because the cock is hard doesn't mean that the pussy is ready to go. In fact, to consider that the pussy probably takes 4 times as long, maybe more, maybe less. Everyone's different. But my advice for all folks is who want to please pussies is, like April said, when you're using fingers and then you're moving to a mouth, and then you're moving to a penis or a dildo or whatever that is, always start slow with each thing. Mm-hmm. Even if that's just for a minute or two, but then check in with your partner. Are you ready for more, harder, faster? And don't just assume like, oh, okay, it's been 1 minute, I'm just going to jackhammer this person right now. And I agree. I just feel more. And there's plenty of times where I just want to get fucked. I'm like, just fuck me right now. Mm-hmm. And that is when it's really good to be fucked. That's when fast and hard is great. But if that's something that you do right away when you start touching me, it's going to feel, for me personally, invasive, and I won't feel as much pleasure. Mm-hmm. I've had even a magical experiences with sex, where it's actually more towards, or like later in the sex journey. So maybe I haven't had an orgasm yet, or my partner hasn't, but where we're actually not even really moving and my partner's still inside of me, but we're just kind of hanging out, or he's barely moving. Or also after sex, and there's still penetration going on after orgasm, but we're still like connected. And just in that zero movement, but we're actually just breathing a lot together. And I've had mind-blowing orgasms from that. So not moving, just breathing, but my body's so warmed up and we're so connected, and that's why that's happening. Have you ever experienced that, Nick? The power in not even moving?
I would say, a few times. I'm thinking of some recent ones. And then also I remember with my ex, it took her a while. Like I remember one time I was actually reading a book, The She Comes First. You had him on, right?
Yeah.
So my buddy, one of my best friends who's married, was like, dude, I read this book. Get on it. Like you need to, it was like, they were on Shameless. This guy was on Shameless Sex. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. I'll check it out. And he was talking about like taking your time and, working your way down the body and like the first kiss when you go down. And it's like, I remember with my ex, sometimes we wouldn't see each other for long periods of time. So when we saw each other, it was like, let's go right now. Mm. And then when I've slowed it down, it was just better. Like I would take my time and spend more time like, warming her up. And then by the time I went down her, it was like Woo! 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, what I mean? And I was like that's when it clicked. I was like, oh shit. So like, stop trying to be fucking Captain Meathead and like, take your time and like,
Meathead,
just like that. Take your time, chill. And like, this is way better. And just like little hints of it I've had over the years where I'm like, yeah, I should do this more. Mm-hmm. And then now I have been, and I definitely see the value in it without a doubt. It's way better.
And that can be with everything in life, though, if you think about it. Like, even, well,
slowing down?
Sex related, yes, of course.
It's like for April and I, what's our lesson in this life?
I get that lesson handed to me all the time, like eating slower, mm-hmm. all of those things, right? Taking your time. You actually do enjoy the being in the moment much more when you slow down. Mm-hmm. So I think that's advice that we can carry over into many realms of our lives.
Well, and that's why we made the slogan, go slower than slow and then slower than that, also because a lot of times what people think slow is actually isn't that slow. No. So for all you folks who are listening, to experiment, even with just touching yourself, right? If you have a cock or a vulva, and start touching yourself to experiment with slow touch. Or this is actually great advice for someone who wants to learn to get off to slow touch. Like if you're someone who thinks you can only get off to fast and hard, start pleasuring yourself with slow, soft touch. you might not have an orgasm for a couple of weeks and it might be frustrating, but you can learn to get off to slow, soft touch. It's because our brain is our largest sex organ, but also experiment with going slower than what you think slow is. Like, okay, this is what I think slow is. Now I'm going to turn it down 2 notches and go even slower and just pay attention to the sensation that's available there. And oftentimes you feel more.
Turn the mode down on the vibrator. Yeah. That's what I've been doing.
Totally. Go to the lower
instead
setting.
Instead of the highest setting right away, I'm like, I'm going to turn it down
and
start from the first setting.
And you get in your head, like, I'm not going to come and I really want the orgasm. Yeah. But if you just hang out for a little bit, you might learn something. You might see more sensation, feel more sensation. You might have the orgasm. And you know, you might not, but not getting set on the orgasm being the end goal, I think is also really helpful. But yeah, slowness is delicious. And then if I say, fuck me really hard, then please do.
Will do.
Will do. Will do.
So all you penis owners out there listening, take some advice from Nick. Go try this out. And all you vulva owners are listening who now want to have sex with Nick, send us an email at info@shamelesssex.com.
which brings me to another question. So from the last show, you had mentioned, and very vulnerably and openly, which was really awesome, about not being able to orgasm from oral sex, oral pleasure, when you are the receiver, right?
Yeah.
So is that still happening? And if so, can we talk about it?
Yes, we can.
Okay. This is shameless. This is professional.
Yeah, that's still happening. And like I said before on the last podcast, every time if I'm, you know, with a girl or whatever, and I always let them know, like, I don't want, like, if I went down a girl and she didn't come, I would feel bad. Really, like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Whatever. So I let the girl know, like, hey, it's probably not going to happen. And they think, like, I'm doing that to be like, oh, it's a challenge. I'm going to, and it's like, no, it's really like, I'm not trying to be funny here. It's just true.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's still, has not happened. I've been
and this
close.
Is ever in your entire life, right?
Yeah, no, never.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Never. I've always been close and then I just stay there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
And this is just with oral when you're having penetrative sex, or what about hand jobs?
Hand jobs, I don't even.
You don't really mess with them? That's weird. Yeah. Are you a suck it or fuck it kind of guy?
Yep. Like literally, like, if you asked any girl I've been with, like, it's been like, you know, we go down each other, but like for me, it's like 90 seconds of like a good effort down there. And then let's get in, you know what I mean? Like
it's a foreplay for you.
Yeah. I don't need a ton. I don't need a ton. Cause I know, like, I don't, you know, it's going to be a while. So,
yeah. Like, I'm curious about this. So it's a foreplay thing for you. You know, you're going to be a while. So one of my questions is, when you say that it's going to be a while, is it you're concerned for them that, it's going to take a long time. It's going to hurt their neck. They're not going to like it. I'm going to disappoint them. Is there a thought process why you don't just, because there's probably still feels good to have a mouth on your cock though, right?
It's great. It's fantastic. So, it's like, I think, and I keep going back to this, I don't know if it's that or not, but I think it's definitely a control thing.
Okay.
Like even, and I found this even when I have sex with girls, and if they're doing a lot, like if they're putting it, like I like to be the one who's doing thrusting. Most of the work.
You're the one more in charge, the dominant one.
Yeah, for sure. Like when they're on top, like that's different. Like I, you know, whatever, like, but I still like to do stuff there. But if they're doing like too much when I'm just trying to go, I don't know if it like throws me off or like I think it kind of does, to be honest. I just think it's a control thing.
Mm. So what about like loving consensual face fucking? where you would get consent for it too. And they, of course, it's not just a free for all where they're like, yeah, do whatever you want to me. And you're just like breaking their neck via. But that's what some people will do though. They grab your head and they're burr, burr, burr. Yeah. And sometimes like there's a time and place. Sometimes I actually enjoy that, but I don't want that all the time. And I want it to be consensual. I want to really be able to advocate for the pressure or how long I want that or if I want that. But I'm just curious about that is, so because you were saying it's a control thing. And so to just submit and relax and receive, which is really hard for a lot of people, vulva owners, penis owners alike, to just receive. And I think a lot of that is a control thing or a worthiness thing, or it's just hard to be present there when you're not the doer, you know, you're doing something. And I'm one of those people, but over the years, it's gotten easier to be a receiver. I think you too, right? A little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm just curious about that is if you turn oral sex into more of an active act on your side, having a conversation with a partner, but saying, hey, you know, I usually like to be the dominant one here or in control. And so when it comes to oral sex, to just relax and receive, isn't necessarily my jam. Like, I'm into exploring it and doing it for a little bit, but not, it doesn't really do a lot for me. Are you open to trying it this way where, like, you know, we can talk about the pressure. I can be the one kind of moving yeah. my hips, but you tell me if it's too much or slower or faster. So they're still in control too, but your movements and things are a little more in control.
Yeah, I should probably try that. I've done it a handful of times, but still I'm just like, man, I just want to have sex. Like, I just, in my head, I think it's, you know, also like you said, it was like the psychological aspect of it. Like, I go into it saying, I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. You know,
that story's already there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I talked about that last time. I compared it to like working out or really doing anything. But like, you're like if you're about to go lift something heavy and you're like, I don't think I'm gonna get this. You're yeah. probably not, right? Or like, I'm not gonna. If you down talk yourself already, it's probably not gonna happen. So maybe I just got to get the narrative out of my head. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's, which is tough, but
yeah, easier said than done.
What about toys? You could try some toys in the midst of fellatio, like an accessory, like a finger vibrator or something.
Interesting. See, that's one aspect I really haven't dove into, like toys at all. Like, I remember
on your own for your body.
Body, for anything. I remember like my college girlfriend, she bought a cock ring and we started using that. And I was like, I fucking hate this. I don't know why. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't know why, but I think, yeah, maybe that may be the go-to. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But. Yeah. Do you like butt stuff on your butt?
A little bit.
A little bit of butt stuff?
Okay. A little bit.
Some light butt stuff?
What about a toy? Like an anal vibrator?
Or an anal vibrator,
like a small
or something.
One.
Yeah. Just like April saying, adding some sensation there, or maybe like on the taint, you know, a vibrator there.
Yeah.
Do you like your balls touched?
That'll get me, if a girl licks, if we're talking like taint or balls, like I'm ready to go. Yeah.
See, wonder if like the Adam Plus cock ring, which gives you perineum pressure, you can put that on and then it's also.
It isn't like cock rings though. Maybe the digits.
But he hasn't tried since college.
Yeah, it literally has. I was 21 the last time I put one.
Oh, well, yeah. You're a different man.
I can send you one. That way you can just check it out, because then you get your testicles stimulated. You get the perineum stimulated, your taint stimulated. And then you also, it actually like kind of constricts the blood flow. So if you want to keep pumping. Yeah. And then if you have a vulva owning partner on top, she can grind on it and it actually like is like instant orgasm because it gives you external stimulation.
This is the Adam ATOM Plus, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
that's a good one.
And by the way, we'll send you one, Nick, or April will. But by the way, everyone, all the toys we were talking about, you can get at purepleasureshop.com, a sex shop I own with my dear mother, and you get 15% off with coupon code shamelesssex. Other things, if you wanted to try like a vibrating plug, this is an anal plug, you can get like a really small one. Mm-hmm. There's the Rio. R-I-O anal plug, and it just has a
Who
vibrator.
That one?
That's Vito or Vito.
Oh, Vito.
And,
yeah.
and the you'll feel the vibrations in the anus, which is
my uncle Vito.
Uncle Vito. Uncle Vito, the Rio by your Uncle Vito. And and it has vibrations that will feel really nice on the anus. And it's just a nice tapered plug. So that's something you can experiment with. Or if you just want some sort of finger vibe or something, the digit, or the ammo
is the bullet vibe, and then the digit is one for the fingers. And you can
those are not
put
for the
on.
Ass, by the way. Those no. are like taint balls,
yeah.
clits.
Either like yeah. your partner could wear it, or you could even wear it while like doggy style for like the reach around, because it yeah. fits like it'll fit even like girthy fingers. So because yeah. it yeah. has this clip on feature, that's a good idea. Yeah.
yeah. And then I'm also want to ask you about. Okay, so you said you like ball play. You like having your balls touched and your taint touched. Right.
Sure.
So during these oral sex experiences, are your partners touching your balls and your taint while they're touching your cock?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes. And it's the same thing. Same experience. Just like, it's
yeah.
not
I mean, it's
happen.
Fantastic. It's just like, you know, I'm like, all right, I get really revved up and I'm like, okay.
I just want to bang. Well, okay. And here's oral sex isn't for everyone. Like, not everyone.
I barely have ever had an orgasm from oral.
Yeah.
Barely. I can maybe count.
Really?
I don't
maybe
usually get it.
Yeah. I think maybe once or twice. I can't even recall.
Mine is when fingers are involved.
Yeah.
That's what really.
All I can think about is like, I think kind of like what Nick was saying, like when someone's going down, I'm like, I just really want like penetration. Right. I just really want, like, it's a good warm up for me and it's fun, but I'm like, I want to fuck.
Yeah. I remember one of the girls I dated, she only came from oral sex.
But that's really common too for a lot of
that's
people.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think one time we did it for like a year and a half. One time got her to come from actual sex. Like that was once. Yeah. But every other time it was going down at her. So
well, we have to consider there's so many things that are contributing to this, right? Our anatomies are entirely different, right? April's pussy looks very different from mine. Hers, what did she see? We did the sexological bodywork session.
Where my clitoris is positioned.
It's very close to your labia and everything, right?
Fuck, yeah.
And mine is, my clitoris is, my with the sexological bodywork worker is like, your clit's its own little world. It's like way up high. and so this is just, I don't know why we assume everything's going to feel the same for everyone. Yeah. We're all so different. We have different nerve endings in different places and some more here, some there. So there's one thing. There's also shame in past experiences. Like for me, the first couple people I had penetrative sex with did not go down on me, nor did I ask for it. And so it created a lifelong barrier about that, a receiving barrier. So that's something that all those experiences, they also contribute to this. So there's anatomy, there's a physiological aspect, and then there's also the experiential aspect. Let me ask you a question, Nick. Do you think your cock is beautiful?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. So in a mouth or in your face. Yeah. All right. Cool. So, hey, everyone, add that. Just so you know, everyone, we're taking applications for Nick Scopoletti. Yes. He's got a beautiful cock. So if someone puts their face or mouth near your cock, you're not like, oh God, it doesn't look good. You know, because for some people, they have a lot of shame about it. And that's why they don't want
it. Do you manscape too?
I use all that shit. I'm Italian, so I have to, or else you wouldn't be able to find it.
Get that ball deodorant on there.
I got it. Yeah, I got it. Like, I mean, it's just, I've been hairy since I was like fucking 12. I had armpit hair when I was 9. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
You're like, something's happening.
I was at my grandmother's house. I remember I saw it in the mirror and I grabbed like her or my grandfather's razor. And I was like, oh no. And I started shaving my armpits. Shit. I had a panic attack. I was 9 years old.
Your parents should have told you what's up. It's okay. It's hair. It's
gonna my dad kind of did. He's like, listen, you know, he's old Italian man. He's like, listen, you're kind of hairy, right? We're all hairy. It's all right. Your grandfather. And I was like, my grandfather would wear like a tank top most of the time, like one of those wife beaters, the white, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Covered in hair. Looked like he had a sweater on. Just like in the summer. Like he was a landscaper. Sicilian immigrant, like just like tan and covered in hair. And
he's
so
warm. Yeah. That's cool.
Well, in the summer, that could be an issue. I would have probably just been like, can you wax my back?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. He's like, my dad just explained to me, he's like, listen, we hit puberty early and hard.
So
that's all he said. It was like, listen, okay. Like, I mean, like my aunts had like, you know, they had to get laser hair removal on their face when they were like in their 20s.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
Well, you have a nice chiseled beard.
I know.
On your face.
It's like, yeah, that's a good beard.
Perfect beard.
You're well trimmed. I like that. You know what? Right? A beard that is long at that length feels, I like that kind of feel on my bits.
It's very, I feel like it's very studious.
Yes. You look very studious.
With their glasses. Well, I have blue blockers now because I want to be cool you guys.
Oh, yeah. I know. I forgot mine over there.
Honestly, I have mine. Do you feel that it makes a big difference? Because I do.
I was getting headaches from all my screen time. So for sure. The reason I would wear mine, but you can't wear them with this headset that we have on when we're doing podcasting because we have the headset. So it's hard, but they make a difference. I've recommended them to people that have also said it's helped them with headaches. Just the blue light glasses. I call them Blu-ray, blue blockers. You know what
no,
I mean.
But like
blue balls?
Yeah, I saw you guys had them and I was like, oh, they kind of look cool. I was like, I wonder if they work. And you know, when COVID first hit, I'm out of work. I'm on a computer or a phone screen more than I ever had, like probably since college. Like never. And I was having a lot of trouble sleeping, like a lot. And I was like, I'm not doing anything. Why would I have trouble sleeping? Like what's, and then I bought these and it made a massive difference. I wear these tonight when I watch TV and stuff every night.
Oh, yeah. Helpful.
Well, we go from our phones to our laptops to our TVs, especially during Corona.
So
it really does help. So if anybody out there is experiencing any headaches and it's getting in the way of your sex life, blue light glasses.
We're not sponsored by them, but we may have just changed our
lives. Yeah. Well,
I have one other question though about this blowjob biz.
Oh.
So are you a masturbator? Do you masturbate?
I do.
Okay. And you just masturbate like with your hand and lube?
No lube.
No lube, just hand? And, just dry hand.
Put on some lotion.
Again, I'm Italian. I'm pretty oily all the time.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Like, I'm not, same thing. I don't have, like, when I had hair, I would like shower, go to bed, wake up, and like put water in my hair, and it would just stay all day.
Okay. All right. So you have a well-lubricated cock naturally. That's cool. Okay, so one other thing that I thought of was masturbating, or is masturbating, with a masturbation sleeve. Then you get it really lubey in there, so it almost feels like a mouth. And masturbating with that, and actually imagining it as you're doing it as a mouth, that you're, but you're controlling the pressure and the movement. So like closing your eyes, but imagining it as, or you can even get ones that look like mouths, like fleshlight makes
ones. You
can
get a full robot doll, yeah. Call her Bianca.
Just too weird.
You could call it the CPR doll. Dad, I just got a CPR doll in case, you know, during a real estate.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
Someone needs CPR.
All right.
That's
threw that one out.
The mouth is open.
He doesn't want the mouth fleshlight. He doesn't want the Bianca.
No, Bianca. Okay.
That freaks me out a little bit.
All right.
Lie.
Yeah. Well, keep working with that whole being present, trying new things, maybe try some consensual face fucking. Good luck to you. When we have you back on the show in 5 months, we'll check in then.
What about?
I'll let you know as soon as it happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will text you immediately after, both of you.
We'll have a party. We'll have a party on air.
Okay. Time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product. So I just leave it out on my nightstand, totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off, plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast was also brought to you by Dipsy. We all know how important your physical and mental health are, but what about your sexual health? Whether you hit the gym, take a walk, or meditate, if you want to take care of yourself, you need to prioritize your pleasure along with your body and mind. Put your sexual well-being first with Dipsy. Get yourself all hot and bothered with a story about hooking up with your hot yoga teacher. Or listen to a sexy story about getting tied up and trying that new toy with your partner. Ooh.
I love Dipsy because it's an audio app for everyone, whoever, and whatever you're into. There are sexy stories and guided sessions designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with your sexy self. They add new stories every week, so you never get bored. Time to spice things up today. So go check out Dipsy. And Dipsy is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/shameless. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/shameless. Again, dipseastories.com/shameless. All right, let's get back to the show.
Girl's like, who are you texting? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Right after, yeah, it could be dirty.
You got to go home. I got to text these girls.
Yeah.
So, Nick, let's talk about, you said something to us about feeling FOMO post-corona dating, and we wanted to know more about this.
Yeah.
If anyone else out there is feeling it.
So I was, you know, we were all locked up for a very long time and not doing anything social really. And as soon as like we were actually able to go out and do things, you know, I went out with this girl for a little while and like, she's great and she's awesome. We still talk and all that here and there, but like, it's not, I don't know what it is. Like my mind is going all over the place. I don't know if it's because we were locked down for so long. Like, and I could, you know, I remember vividly during the lockdown, I was like, man, I should probably like get a girlfriend.
I think a lot like, of people,
you know, yeah. After like 6 weeks, I was like, you know what? This is just, shit's getting old. But I think I'm having a little like FOMO. Like, I feel like I feel like this year was almost not a waste, but it really feels like things just got put on pause. And I just don't know. I'm having like, I guess FOMO. I just feel like I'm missing out on things, or like I need to, like, I was supposed to go on trips this year. A lot of shit got canceled. Like, it's not just the relationship stuff and whatever. It's other things. Like, I just feel like I missed out on so much, and like, I can't be held down by anything because I want to do anything I want. I don't want to be, you know, all that stuff. I mean, this is just my own narrative in my head. I'm probably just overthinking shit, which is my MO. But yeah, I'm just feeling like this weird, like, I can't be locked. I need to do my own shit. I need to be left alone, like all that stuff. But I don't know why. I don't have no idea why.
It's like strange. Isolated and kind of just.
Yeah, I thought about it because I knew we were going to record, and I've been thinking about it for a few days, and I couldn't even give you guys like a real answer. I just don't know why I'm having this feeling. It just is what it is. Like, it's just happening to me. I feel like I missed out on so much, and this year was like a waste, and like I need a redo, and like mm-hmm. I just, you know, I want, like, it's just strange. Yeah. It's a strange feeling. So,
being in a relationship is not easy during this time. Let me tell you, up and down like the stock market. Some part of me during Corona has been envious of my single friends, because they'll just like hit some Tinder dates and you know, get their fix in for, you know, bang time or pound town, going to pound town. So, and then it's easy. They leave. And so I think there's two sides to this dating FOMO, right? In my opinion, because I feel like being in a relationship when you're still, we're all isolated and we're all kind of in that Corona world, right? That's slowly shifting. And it's been difficult to be in a relationship, living with someone and being in each other's space all the time has been challenging, to say the least. And I'm sure folks out there that are in relationships are also feeling that. We've seen a spike in listeners because they're like, how do I still have sex with this person that's driving me fucking crazy? Right?
I'm sure. Yeah. It's always like grass is always greener. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, like all my friends, and I talked about this in my act and stuff, but I'm literally like I'm the last single guy, right? They're all married or about to be married or whatever it is. And like, you know, they're like, dude, like, you know, I want to hear stories, or like, you going on dates, what's up? They want to hear things. And I was like, yeah, man, grass is always greener though. Like, it's, you know, like, you have your wife, this woman who you love, you have children with her, and like, you love that. So I'm like watching my friends with their kids. I'm like, that's so cool. Like, that's so great. That would be nice to have. Mm-hmm. But like, the grass is always greener. Everyone looks at things differently. Like, people that were alone probably wanted to be in relationships. People that were in relationships and stuck home with people were like, I just want to be single again. I can't fucking deal with this person. I'm sure everyone's all over the place now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine.
I think a lot of people are feeling like this year they lost. Where did this year go? And lost out on a lot of opportunities. And we were all of us in some, I mean, it's already almost the end of the year. This year has just flown by. But with the FOMO piece, so were you primarily referring to kind of, I hate the term settling down, but you were less in the dating market and more in the one-on-one thing with someone or with certain people, and the FOMO is wanting to be more single and free? Is that what you were?
I would say so. I definitely have struggled with that. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's like, you know, you definitely have some unresolved shit from your past with, like, you know, girls and things like that. And I was like, yeah, I really haven't delved into that. I've been worried about other shit, like my job and, like, you know, things that, you know, are slow now and all that stuff. But it's been, I'm not sure why I'm like this. It's just the way it is right now. I just feel like there's this, like, I don't want to be tied down. I don't want to be told I have to be here at this day, or we're hanging out with so-and-so and we're going to this and we're, you know, going to go pump picking or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean?
You might go to the pumpkin patch and then carpet. Yeah.
So you're saying there's the couple stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, oh, which is cool. Yeah, like, it's great. And I had a friend bring this up to me, and I thought it was a good point. She was like, do you think if like we never shut down and like life just was normal, you'd be okay with being in a relationship? And I was like, maybe that would be, you know, maybe I feel like I didn't miss out and I would be like, yeah, I'm, you know, I want to do this, but I don't know. Is this a weird fear of missing? I don't really have an answer.
Is the fear of missing, is this something that just arrived or was this before? Has commitment always been a little scary for you? Are you kind of always had a desire to be free and to not be tied down and to not have to do all these couples things? Or is this a newer thing for you? Or does it depend on the person?
Or were you traumatized for that last relationship?
It's been traumatized. Like I told, so I was telling someone the other day about, two of my last girlfriends, one I met when I was 30 and one I dated when I was 25. It was 5 years apart. And I was telling this story, and this is a true story. Again, back to fall stuff, October. They wanted to do fall type things. I was in a relationship with these girls this time, like in an actual relationship, really loved them. Like kind of was like, am I going to get married? Like what's going to happen? Whatever. Right. Kind of thought, had those feelings. And I took them to a haunted hayride, right? Obviously, this is 5 years apart, but the same exact thing happened. Took them to a haunted hayride. It's literally, I was like, oh my God, 5 years later, same place, same scenario. And I was like, who are these girls I'm picking? Like, what am I doing? But long story short, do fall stuff, whatever. And like, you know, then they asked to do something else after. Like, oh, can we go, you know, do this? And I was like, well, we're just going to go eat after. I was like, we did this and now we'll go do that. And I remember driving away.
After the haunted hayride.
After the haunted hayride.
What the hell happened
like,
at this haunted
hayride? It's haunted, or is it?
The curse of the haunted hayride.
Yeah. Bad luck for
me.
I've been
going back,
to it since
Nick,
I was like,
no more.
I've been going to it since I was in high school. It's been around here. Like, sure. I've gone with friends and obviously nothing, you know, crazy like this has ever happened. But long story short, are you want to do fall stuff? Fine. I'll plan a whole day. We'll go to haunted hayride. We'll go to dinner after. Took him to the haunted hayride. And then we're driving away because I said no to something else they wanted to do that was also there, like a haunted walk or whatever through the woods on the other side. I was like, no, let's like go get dinner. Driving away, literally at the same road, at the same point, they both started crying. And we're like, you know, I guess like you just don't really care. Like you don't want to do stuff with me. And I was like, I planned this whole like day. What are you? And they're like, no, I guess it's just up to you. And I remember like turning around and going back. And they're like,
no,
it's
walk.
It's fine. Yeah. And I was like, that stuff blew my mind. I told my friend that. And she was like, yeah, like I could see why you don't want to be like in a relationship. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just have some unresolved stuff for sure that I need to work through. Cause I've been, you know, been a good, in my opinion, I've been a really great boyfriend. I'm always like accommodating and making sure whatever. And it's always, I don't want to say backfired. Like obviously they weren't the right girls for me. I'm not saying I'm swearing off relationships the rest of my life because I had two bad girlfriends. Like that would be crazy, right? Like everyone's different, but it definitely sticks with you and it makes me not want to do as much as a partner for like that type of stuff. Like, it makes me hold back and be like, no, I don't want to, you know, show too much effort or put too much because it won't be returned, which is crazy. I'm just, you know, this person could be really accepting of it and, you know, maybe I'm missing out, but
there's some resistance from past experiences. And I think when a lot of folks can identify with this, they pick a lot of the same partners, you know, over and over again. Why am I doing this again? This person's so similar to my last partner. We have a girlfriend who is going through or just broke up with someone and she has this pattern of dating people that are liars, that are not honest. And she lets them know in the beginning, she has like no capacity for this. And this is like the fourth or fifth person that is just so super dishonest, wonderful person, but it's unfortunate. She has a lot of capacity for openness in relationship, et cetera. But she's like, why does this keep happening over and over again? And
something within, I think you call
parental stuff.
Yeah.
She was like, is it past life stuff? And I was like, maybe go see a therapist and see, but also parental stuff. And she's like, well, I have a great relationship with my dad. And so I was like, well, you know, parental stuff can show up from both parents. You can be a woman who has mommy issues and that shows up in the people that you date or daddy issues too. Yeah. And so, you know, for you, if you're seeing a pattern of people that really aren't in an alignment, aren't serving your highest good or as a partner or in this world, I would be curious for you to check out how that's related to your childhood and your relationship with your parents, your dad, mom, anyone, how they did or didn't show up for you, and how you might be choosing women that somehow reenact the old
maybe it's not trauma, but hurt or something that didn't, that actually didn't serve you when you were younger, but we continue to make those choices until we resolve
them. Yeah. And then, you know, you start to not trust yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, I'm making dumb decisions. Like, what the hell am I doing? And then you could be dating someone and they're cool. And then you're like, I don't know. Like, you just don't trust your instincts anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I had to be my own psychologist, I think the way my dad explains things are great. He just goes, he's like, you always go for girls that are like up here. And he always like puts his hand. He goes, they're always up here. And if I had to be my own psychologist, my grandmother was like that. And her and I were very tight. Mm. So
like high standards, you mean? Or
yeah, my grandmother was. So, you know, I have my dad. This is on my mom's side. My mother was an only child. She passed away when I was 6. I'm an only child. So my grandmother, her mother, stepped up like you wouldn't believe. Mm. Did everything for me. School, I mean, you name it. College, helped me pay for stuff, all that. And, but she had a certain standard that she liked to live by. She enjoyed, you know, her penthouse in Westchester, New York that she, you know, she liked it. First of all, I'm her only grandson. It's just her in this loft penthouse with 3 bathrooms, 2 bedrooms. And she's like, I like my place. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're going broke, which was true. She was literally- I was like, I know you like your place, but like, she's like, I put a reverse mortgage on it. I was like, that's terrible. Why?
You need the 3 bathrooms, Grandma. Come on.
Yeah. She was very status driven. She wanted me to get a master's degree. Didn't care. She just liked the idea of it. And saying,
doesn't care what it's in.
Just no, no. It's just like saying my grandson, he's going to get a master's degree and blah, blah, blah. And like all this shit. I mean, I get it. She grew up poor as shit, like in the projects in Queens and like, her dad was a cab driver and all this shit. And she, you know, she made some good money and she married the right guys. And, mm-hmm. But in the end, she passed away when I was 20, let's do math mm-hmm. here, 29. And it was suddenly, and it was after we had a bad argument. Mm. It was literally on like a Wednesday night. I'll never forget. She called me and she needed help moving. She was moving out of her place again. She was going broke. She was going to move in with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. She was 10 days away from the closing on her house. She calls me about something, helping her move. And I was like, hey, I can't come that day, but I'll come like a week earlier and help you out. And she drank a lot and she freaked out and was like, why can't you just do what I want you to do? Blah, 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 blah. When I die, you better go get a master's degree.
Oh shit.
And I was like, what the hell? And she, her and my dad never got along. So she's screaming at me about, don't turn out like your father. And I'm like, oh my God, mm-hmm. this is like, mm-hmm. and then a few days later, I remember I was so mad at her. And a few days later, she died suddenly. Mm-hmm. And
did you get the master's degree?
No. Fuck no.
Just go online and get one.
My brain is not, I mean, I look back at like some essays and shit I wrote in college and I was like, who was that guy? How the mm-hmm. fuck did I write that? Mm-hmm. I have no idea, but no, she passed suddenly. I literally got a call. I was at work. And that was it. And I was mm-hmm. like, shit. And that was our last mm-hmm. conversation. And I think, you know, I always chase women that are like her. Like I always tried mm-hmm. to, you know, please her, make sure she was happy with like the college I went to or like what I was doing with my life and all this stuff. So I think there's definitely that. And seeing all the status stuff that she kind of let ruin her life, like mm-hmm. financially and everything. So like I shy away from people like that now that are very
materialistic, you know, and things.
Yeah, I have this and I have that. And I'm like, who cares? Like what?
All right, ladies who are applying for the application to date, No, super materialistic humans. Sorry, you're out. Oh, no. We're screening you out. You like Gucci? Out.
Listen, don't get me wrong.
Just
like
vintage
I have,
Gucci.
Yeah. I have those bits of me too that I try to like fight. Like I like nice shit though. Like I have a friend of mine who makes way more money than me and I'll spend money on shit that he would never spend his money on. He's like, that's dumb. And I'm like, nah, but I like it. Like,
you know, it's balanced though.
I'm a hybrid when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love my nice shit, but I can also rough it.
Yeah. I'm just like mostly rough it. So. maybe just too much sometimes. Okay. I have one question though about your grandma. What was your grieving process? Like, did you resolve that whole experience of getting in an argument with her before and then her passing. And this is someone that was really, really important to you and probably is showing up in your dating and relationships in terms of that relationship. What happened during that time? How did you
I think another thing too, relationships, like just real quick, my father, you know, he lost his wife a long time ago. And my dad and then my grandmother, they kind of lean on you like you're their significant other in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm just trying to be a kid. Yeah. So like, I think, you know what I mean? Like they're yelling at me about, they're not even the yelling, but just like, you know, they treat you like a spouse. And it's like, listen, man, I'm 16. I'm just trying to play football and like date girls. And like, I don't know. You know what I mean? You had so many, life was simple back then, but the grieving process with her, I'll just say she died in a car accident. It was just sudden. Yeah. And you know, I'm the executor of her estate. So I handled everything. She has three sisters. And you know, I knew that one phone call was not the totality of our relationship, right? Like she was in a bad spot, not doing well. And, you know, I had to work on forgiving her for that. But the grieving process after was tough because, and again, and I hate to say this about them, but that side of the family, they got real weird mm-hmm. when money got involved.
It's so messy.
It's so unfortunate.
Oh, it was not great. So the grieving process was definitely tough because I'm dealing with my own shit and, you know, worried about, you know, my grandmother and what's going to, you know, what just happened and like all this stuff, but I'm planning the funeral. I'm paying the bill. I'm doing all this stuff. And then you have her sisters being like, well, we don't want to pay this much. And I'm like, yo, this is money she left for you. Like why wouldn't you use her money to help bury her? Like, I don't understand. Mm. There was arguments with that. And I just, everyone kind of showed who they really were. Mm-hmm. And, it was upsetting on top of everything else. It was very, very upsetting. So the grieving process was tough. I still definitely have some unresolved. I definitely have a lot of anger towards that side of the family for sure. Cause they pretended to be this like, everything's fine and like very whatever. And it just turned out they were not who I thought they were. And I had feelings of that when I was a child, but.
Do you have a therapist or did you go to a therapist?
I did not. I went to a therapist once. Oh, like one time.
Time
one
for
time
therapy.
After.
Yeah, you can heal that. Yeah. It is possible. Yeah. Just to heal that whole, that's like mother wounding in general, right? It's like
mother, grandmother.
Mother, grandmother.
Familial.
That was like his mother was his grandmother, right? So
essentially, yeah. I mean, she did everything. And it was like, you know, that whole week I'm planning the funeral, doing all the stuff, like, you know, picking her stuff up, trying to have to sell her house now. Get rid of her stuff, you know, what to keep, what to get rid of.
Did she have any Gucci? You can keep that.
I have a funny picture I'll send you guys after. She had a fur coat that my mother got when I was born from my dad. It's like a fox. It was white with like, it's a fox fur coat. It was like $3,000.
Did
like
you keep it? You please tell me you kept it.
I think I gave it to one of her sisters or whatever. Because I knew I was, you know, I was the executor of the state. So I was like, and they're, what am I going to do with it? Like, I was like, so.
Give it to us.
Come on.
But like, they kept all, I was like, take all the jewelry and the clothes. Like, I'm not going to, you know, try to sell her clothes. Like, this is just weird. Like, just take it. Yeah. Get it away from me. I was trying to get as much stuff off my plate as possible at that point.
Yeah.
So, cause I had other stuff going on, but yeah, there was definitely, some unresolved stuff from that. Just like still, I mean, it's 3 years later and I still am just like, I can't believe, you know, they acted like that. It's
super disappointing.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Well, I play it through my head and it just doesn't. Cause I know my dad's side of the family, everyone's very direct and like they're straight. They'll tell you what's up immediately. There's no playing games. So like with them, it's very direct. And with the other people, it was not. And it was very upsetting.
Yeah. It's really upsetting, disappointing when you, especially when people are choosing money over family and love, and especially during a hardship such as someone passing. And I think this is actually really common. This happens all the time. And that's really unfortunate. And we know with therapy, it's never too late. Even if the thing happened 10 years ago, you can start working on it now. And you know, there's layers there. Also, you said, mentioned the thing about being kind of parentified at a young age with, and this is something that happens often too, where a parent or a grandparent or someone treats their child like they're their boyfriend, they're their girlfriend, as opposed to the kid. And, or puts all, I was recently working with a client that had a little bit of this, where they kind of lost some of their childhood. And it's like this endless expectations to meet up to for this person. But you're a kid. You're not supposed to have that. You're supposed to be a kid. You're supposed to be free. And so it makes sense that that standard and type of relationship dynamic would carry over into the people that you date and into a fear of commitment and not wanting to go down certain routes because it's scary down there. So my recommendation for you is start checking out therapy. And that in my book, that just makes you 20 times hotter now, Nick, because for me, when I'm on dates with people within the first, you know, 10 minutes, they say that they have a therapist or have gone to a therapist. I'm like, oh, do tell more. That is hot.
Have you seen anybody?
What's up? Because it shows that they're working on themselves and they're not just like, this is just how I am. Those kind of people and I are not compatible. We just won't do well together. I'm not one of those people. I'm someone that knows that I always have room to grow and learn. I'm far from perfect. This is not just how I am. I'm always changing. So if you need any referrals, Nicholas, we have them for you. Where are you again? And what state are you in?
Connecticut. I'm in Connecticut. I'm in the Northeast. So, all right. I mean, obviously things are virtual now, so it doesn't really matter, but...
So for the applications that we're taking, it can be global for anyone that wants to date this wonderful man. But New York, Connecticut, that's nice and close. So we'll put you at the top of the
New
list.
Jersey. Philly, New Jersey.
Yeah.
What about a nice woman from Maine? Very capable.
Yeah. Perfect.
My dad, when I became single, I like download the dating apps and stuff. And my father, I've actually been writing a joke about this. I'm trying to figure it out. He does not, for whatever reason, if they're like blonde, sorry guys, he's cool. Not a fan. He likes Italian, Jewish, Hispanic girls, dark features. That's what he's into, right?
What about you though? Who are you
into? Have dated primarily blondes.
Okay. Remember he talked about that last time.
So you like blondes, but your dad's like, why are you dating blondes?
I don't really have, I mean, like my last girlfriend was Armenian, so dark as can be.
You don't really have one type.
No, I really, especially, you know, whatever. Like, yeah,
I
sure.
ain't got no type. Bad bitches is the only thing that I That's what's up.
So for people who
girl
apply,
that can rap. Yeah. But yeah, I like my dad, you know, he wants these specific things. It was funny. I downloaded the dating apps and I was matching with only Italian, Jewish or Hispanic girls from New York, Long Island, New Jersey, like. And I was like, Dad, and he's like, what have I been saying for years? Yeah. I told you. You don't listen to me. Holy shit, that dog's so cute.
I know, isn't he? He's just scary.
Oh, my God.
He just gets in my lap. We have our dogs in Mexico.
Well, Nick, how can people find you on all the places? You have your Mangina Dialogues, which is hilarious. If y'all haven't checked that out, please do. And, yeah, how can people find you? What's your address and social security number?
Yeah, I'll give you all that stuff. You can find me on Instagram at Nick Scopes. The Mangina Dialogues podcast is at the Mangina Dialogues. You should be able to find it. We're just cracked 100 episodes.
We'll crack some tequila for that.
Yeah, we
celebrate
will.
You.
We're excited. We've had some bigger guests on. It's been really fun and cool.
You mean like Amy Baldwin and April Lampert?
We've been
on
your
episode.
Check us
actually,
out on IMDb.
Yeah. So we did, I don't know. Well, I think it already came out, so it doesn't matter. But we did our 100th episode was just Greg and I, and we went over all the episodes we've done in like favorite clips and moments. And I picked your episode where I think it was you, April, that said, someone said like namaste to your dog in the park. Or some shit like
was
that.
Was it me? What? Namaste.
It was one. I can't remember, but it was.
Was it you?
I think
it was you, April. You were like, yeah. So like, my dog was acting up, and this lady was like, "Namaste to your dog."
What?
And I'll never. I was like, "What the fuck?"
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to the episode.
Oh my God.
It's possible. I do live in Santa Cruz.
That's very Santa Cruz.
It is.
I threw it in there. I was like, "That was so funny." And Greg's like, "Why do you find it so funny?" I go, "They said namaste to a dog."
Yeah. dog does not speak.
My dog was probably being an asshole, and the lady was like, namaste, okay?
That killed me. And I was like, we had to pick like our top three each of us like moments, and I threw that in there because I was like, that shit was ridiculous.
I don't remember, but it is possible. I'm gonna listen to that episode, the 100th episode. That's namaste.
Yeah, I think we played it. I can't remember shit, but yeah.
Well, we love you.
We love you, Nick.
We love you so much. And
we're going to find you the perfect partner.
Yeah. And for all of you out there, yes, if you love Nick as much as we do,
yeah,
send your application to, what is it, contact@shamelesssex.com.
Contact,
or
yes,
just or DM. Info, yeah. You slide into our DMs or Nick's DMs.
We can slide in Nick's DMs.
Yeah, we can. And if you haven't done so already, check out marginswine.com. Amy and I, we may be sipping tequila right now, but we will be sipping wine when we get back to the U.S. because we love Margins Wine. And you can too if you go to marginswine.com, sign up for that newsletter, y'all.
There's a discount code.
There's a discount code.
The copy for this episode. You can get a discount on three bottles or six bottles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
all like natural, no sulfates?
It's natural, no added sulfites, no sulfates, sulfites, mm-hmm. sulfites. I can't remember.
Tomato.
But it is lovely wine, yeah. And each bottle is an experience. So check it out. And if you haven't done so, y'all, we need your reviews. We love 5 stars. We read them all. We absolutely love our listeners out there. So if you love us as much as we love you, let us know. Go ahead. I challenge you. I invite you. And we will see you next Tuesday for another episode of Shameless Sex. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.